This morning we had a wonderful time of worship and just really letting the Spirit move. And man, it was so powerful. But I wanted to just apologize that if you came and you were ready to give or you're ready to get into the Word, I wanted to provide this opportunity for us to study the Word together. To go through what the Lord had laid on my heart for our sermon series Blueprints that we're beginning this month. So this evening we're going to do something a bit different. We're going to do a little bit of what I had prepared for this morning, and just know that it's okay that we serve Jesus and we want Him to come first. We want Him to change our plans and to do what He wants to do. So I'm going to pray. And then we're going to jump right into Build Your Kingdom here, the title of my sermon, starting our series on blueprints. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for what you've been doing this weekend, what you've done this morning already through worship and just the powerful move, where lives were changed, people were healed, people were set free. God, we thank you so much for that. Lord, and as you want to do more in us, Lord, I pray that we come closer to you. I pray that we do dive right into the living waters of life. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So, guys, as I said, we are starting our sermon series, Blueprints, where we are going through the gifts of the Spirit. We're going through the gifts from Jesus, the gifts from God the Father, and we're going through gifts from the Holy Spirit. So this sermon is titled Build Your Kingdom Here. You guys know that I tend to get a song, and so we've sung Build Your Kingdom Here by Rand Collective for like 7 years now. It's still my jam, and I was just thinking about it as I was preparing this and how we say, Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear, right? We are your church. We're your body. We're your people. And so I wanted to really just talk about that. A lot of thoughts on my mind about building. But before we get into that, I'm going to have us go to the next slide and we're going to say our declaration together. I hope this has blessed you. I hope that it's something that you find yourself repeating and saying outside of church. So let's say this together. My eyes are on Jesus. My heart is tuned to his spirit. My ears are listening to his voice. My mind will believe what he says, and my voice will declare the truth of his word. I hope that blesses you. If you're hearing that for the first time, say that, pray that over yourself, over your life, and everything that we say, everything that we do, we would do it all for him and his glory. So, as I said, today's sermon is Build Your Kingdom Here. And got a little sermon graphic if you want to check it out there, but we're going to jump right into it. My sermon in a sentence, my main point, I always like to give this to you guys up front here. So we're going to go ahead and go through our sermon in a sentence or the main point. It is, if you aren't willing to let Jesus build his kingdom in you, how can you be used to build it in others? I'm going to say it again. If you aren't willing to let Jesus build his kingdom in you, how can you be used to build it in others? So I had this prayer or this alternative way of looking at it, and it's this. It's Jesus, start with me. Build your kingdom right here and let it be the spark that sets the whole forest ablaze. Like, start with me. I want you to start right here, right now, right where we're living. And it makes me think of the story in Joshua where he says, as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. I don't know what all y'all are doing, but we're serving Jesus. So he wanted God to start with him. And that's what I just kept hearing and feeling about this sermon and about this series is it all starts with us. It all starts right here, right now. So I hope that you can receive that and believe that today. So let's get to our first point. One of the things that I was thinking about is we got to explain or show and tell what we're building. What are we building, Chris? What's going on? And the answer that came quickly to my spirit had a number of scriptures attached to it, but that was temples of the living God. He's building temples of the living God. In Matthew 16, 15 through 19, it says, "He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' And so Simon Peter answered and said, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah.'" That means Simon, son of Jonah. So his dad's name was Jonah. He said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Next verse. "And I also say to you that you are Peter." Peter means rock. I don't know if you knew this. And it's actually, if you study it out, it's a little rock, like a little pebble, a little stone. So he said, "You are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So there's a lot going on here. So Peter has just made the great confession. If you're studied in your word, you'll know and you'll remember that not too far down the road, he tells Jesus not to do something and Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan," right? That's the same Peter. So you can see how we have the blessing, the Holy Spirit revealing, as he said there, revealing who he is to us. But when the Holy Spirit resides in us, we'll always know. The other thing that I want to talk about here is he said that you are Peter, you're Kepha, right? You're the rock. And on this rock, I will build my church. And a lot of people think he meant only on Peter. But Jesus was talking about that confession, the confession of a faith that Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that confession in Jesus, that confession is what his church is built upon, believing in Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," right? So yes, it's built on the apostles. Yes, it's built on those who have gone before us and the testimonies of the faithful, but it's built also on the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Those things go hand in hand, the declaration and confession, and then the testimonies towards that. Does that make sense? I hope it does. You may type in the comments for me and just see if you have any other questions. I'm happy to answer them and go into more. We talked about a little bit about what was God going to build his church on. Here's another scripture for you. I've actually have two. One is found in Revelation 21:14, and then one we're going to read right now. It's found in Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22. It says, "Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but your fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household." Did you know that we're a citizen? We're fellow members with Peter and Paul who have gone before us of the household of God. Amen? "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets," there it is, "Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." We're all part of that foundation. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, the capstone, if you will, "in whom the whole building fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." There it is, temple of the living God. Each and every one of us make up parts and pieces of that foundation. Let's go to the next scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians 3. It's the last half of 9, so I call it 9b through 16. It says, "You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise master builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ himself. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light." Amen. "It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burnt up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple?" There it is again. "And that God's Spirit dwells in your midst." Did you know that he dwells with you? Did you know that he's here? So today, this morning, as we were in the church, he was there. today when I took my family and we went with some friends to eat lunch, guess what? Jesus was there. A man came in and he brought in some beef jerky. We were all about that. Jesus was there, right? Jesus is there wherever he's at, wherever you're watching this right now. Jesus is there. I hope you believe that. I hope you receive that. You are the temple of the living God. So you go bearing Christ, carrying Christ, taking Christ, however you want to say it, wherever you go. I hope you receive that and can hear that today. All right, next scripture. It's 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are the living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priest through the mediation of Jesus Christ. You offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. Where's temple? And Peter, the guy who the Holy Spirit imparted that knowledge and that wisdom to, is the one telling us this right now in this scripture. Isn't that cool? Isn't that awesome how God uses us and how, man, we just get that revelation that we didn't know before, and we get blessed by it, and we get to bless others by it. So I want to encourage you in that. I would also want to encourage you in Ephesians 4:29. We're the temple of God, so we're co-laborers with Christ as we are transformed to be his temples, but we also get to build each other up with our words. And you can see that in Ephesians 4:29. There's a band actually called Building 4:29. That's where they get it. And it's in the NIV, so check that out. Build each other up with your words. All right. So my next point, you guys know that I ask a lot of why questions. So why are we doing all this? What's the point? What's the focus or the goal? And so I've got a short little one-liner here for you, but it's for the equipping of the saints, the building of his body. Ephesians 4:11 through 13says it this way. It says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors or shepherds, and teachers." We've actually been studying this in our new members class, so I pray that's been blessing you. And verse 12, to equip his people for works of service. There it is, equipping for works of service. So if you're sitting on the pews every Sunday in and out, and you could do more, and you've been asking yourself, man, could I do more? God is saying, yeah, you could do more, all right? Works of service. Why? So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach full unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Guys, we haven't got there yet. We are equipped for the works of service so that the body is built up, and then we reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and we become mature. We're not there yet. Praise Jesus, he's not done. We have some more work to do as we submit to him, okay? So that's what I have there. Another reason why I see just the why are we doing it all, is there's a few scriptures that came to mind as I was thinking about works of service. What does it mean when he says, do works of service? And I found a few scriptures here for you, and I'm gonna bullet these off real quickly. I think we have looks like we have all looks like we have all of them. So first one up is Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. It says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your mind, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. Do it now, because when we're dead, there's no doing. There's no work that you're going to get to do to try to fix it or make it right or whatever. Do it now while there's breath in your lungs." Okay. Next verse, Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him." And then we go to verses 23 and 24 of Colossians 3, and it says again, so Paul is telling us twice, probably has some importance, right? It says, "Whatever you do it heartily, all your might, all your strength, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." And then last scripture, I loved this one. You just leave it at the first line, but it's Romans 12, 11. It says, "Never be lazy." Come on, man, don't be lazy. Work hard, serve the Lord enthusiastically. Man, I know some folks that they don't serve the Lord enthusiastically, all right? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, you know, I'm doing this. I'm working for the Lord. I was like, are you working for the Lord? Like, are you excited about that? Because you don't seem excited about that, right? Do it enthusiastically. We want people to know that it's a joy to serve. And I pray that you feel that way. If you don't, come talk to me. Let's have you do something else where you can enjoy it, okay? It should be a blessing to serve the Lord and to minister for him, okay? All right, next point I was thinking about is, whose blueprints are we following, right? We're talking about a sermon series called Blueprints, you know, so you got these schematics. They're sometimes blue, sometimes not. But you got these artists and these skilled craftsmen that will kind of draw it out or write it out. And, you know, they've got all the numbers and the measurements. Like, Dad fascinates me with this. Like, he just knows how long something is, how long it needs to be. He can almost eyeball it because he's been doing it so long. Like, skilled master builders, right? They know what they're doing. You could even kind of say that way about vehicles. He's also really good at vehicles. Like, he just knows, oh, that sounds like it's this. You go take it apart, and it's like, sure enough, it's that, right? So whose blueprints are we following? And I had a story that came to mind. I was talking about it a little bit this morning, but it was found in Exodus chapters 25 through 30, where God has given instructions to Moses regarding the tabernacle, all the things inside, all the things outside. And I just encourage you to read everything leading up, but we're going to talk about Exodus 31. And if you review what he said and think on it, and you say to yourself, oh, it's not too bad, I think you're missing the point, right? It wasn't supposed to be easy. It wasn't supposed to be something that I believe that they could just do and just have all the skills already readily available to them. So when I looked at it, and I looked at it with just natural human eyes, a lot of people know me. I like doing all kinds of things, but I'm not just someone who just, all right, I envisioned this building. I'm going to go build it now, right? It baffles me. It's beyond my skills and abilities. So I really got to say, Jesus, you want to do this? You got to bring me some master builders. You got to bring me some folks that can see it all and put it all together. I even think about that, especially when I say master builder. I think of the Lego movie where, you know, you've got all these little Lego characters and they see all the schematics in their brain. You know what I'm talking about? Where the numbers are at the bottom of the screen. They're like, all right, P78642 goes to 21859, and they connect this way, and it's like they're seeing it in their mind, and then just go boop, 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 and it just kind of comes together. Like, that's exactly what God is doing. So when you're tuned to this Holy Spirit, He gives you those blueprints. Like, you're like my son Eli. You don't even need the instructions. You're like, I got this. You know, throw the instructions to the wind, and you just start putting it together, and it's like, ah. You know, it's like, I did it. Like, wise master builder. Like, I don't know. I hope that tickles you as much as it does me, but it's a massive blessing. So when I look at what God revealed to Moses in Exodus chapters 25 through 30, I'm like, oh, wow, you're giving us a picture of heaven. I can't fathom it. It's probably 40 times more massive in heaven than it is on earth. Let's just be real, right? Like, we have but a picture of it. And it was still baffling. So because it was a God-given vision, we needed God's blueprints to finish it up, to actually do the work. And so as I shared this morning, the thought came to me, it was, you know, our minds are typically geared towards the plans or the process, like, oh man, there's so much work to do, right? And we're going to see here that God sees us and what he calls us to as the finished product. When he looks at us and he talks to us, it's like, I don't see your past. I don't see the flaws and the weaknesses that you see. He said, in your weakness, I made strong. Like, I see the other version, the full version, right? So let's read Exodus 31, verses 1 through 6. It says, the Lord said to Moses, look, I have specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, right? Tribe of Judah. That's where Jesus came from, okay? I have filled him with the Spirit of God. That's all capitals, y'all. Spirit of God. That's Holy Spirit. Giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. Come on now. He's a master craftsman or master builder, all right? He's seeing all the numbers. Expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. He's skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones and in carving wood. He sounds like my dad, right? He's got a lot of talents and a lot of abilities given from God. He is a master at every craft. And then he's going to do him one better. Not only is he going to give him one guy, he's going to give him two. Listen to this. And he says, I have personally appointed Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to be his assistant. Moreover, I have given special skill to all the gifted craftsmen so they can make all the things I've commanded you to make. So he actually says they. All the craftsmen, they. So it sounds to me like it's more than Bezalel and Aholiab. It sounds like they got a team. Like, that's cool, right? Like, the new Lego movie, everyone's a special, right? Like, they all have Jesus. They're all special. They're all master builders. So I think that's pretty cool. So once again, my point there that I want to leave you with is we see plans and process. He sees promise. He sees the finished product. Ephesians 2:10, he sees the masterpiece, okay? So when he reveals his plans to us, this is the good stuff. Papa's telling us secret things, and we get to kind of draw up close to him and get to hear those secrets that he whispers to our hearts. And guys, I don't know about you, but if that doesn't get you fired up, you better go to the doctor. You better go somewhere and get checked out because something's wrong, right? Like, we should be excited. We should be just ready to go when we hear stuff like that. So I got a sub point here. And the question that I want to answer is, who are we following? Who are you following? And I was reminded of this portion of scripture because we read the last half of it a minute ago. But let's look at 1 Corinthians 3, but let's look at 5 through 9a. So the first part of 9 is where we'll end, and we read the last part earlier. But 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 9a, it says, what, after all, is Apollos? Sorry, I read that funky because he's got commas. What, after all, is Apollos? So they're talking about this guy named Apollos. And what is Paul? So he's talking about himself. Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. We all have a job. We all have a purpose. He says, I planted the seed. Apollos watered it. But God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes it grow. Right? Can you hear that? Like, I might be teaching you. I might be planting seeds right now, but I don't make you grow. I don't get to see the finished product, sometimes not even in my lifetime, right? We usually come to somebody and say, hey, you preached this word or you prayed for healing or whatever. I just prayed for it. I didn't do it. God did it. So just like I'm teaching the word, God's making you grow. I'm just presenting it to you. I'm being a voice, okay? I hope that helps you. So he says here in verse 8, the one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. Verse 9, for we are co-workers in God's service. And then we read earlier that we're God's field and God's building. But we're co-workers. We're serving him. We're doing his works because that's how he equipped us for the equipping of the saints for good works. All right, remember that? And so we're co-working with him. We're co-working together and we're co-working with him. But he's the one that causes us to grow. He's the one that transforms, okay? So I need to tell you this. Here's another little nutshell nugget that I think I have up next. But your plans, my plans, our plans will fail each and every time. We cannot follow men. Like, we're not called to follow Chris or any other good speaker, good talker, or whatever. We are fallible. God is infallible, meaning he can't make a mistake. He can't mess up. He's the only one that has perfect plans. So I pray that you hear that and see that today, that I'm a servant like you. We're serving together, all right? All right, next question or next point. How do we do it? How do we do all this? And the words that Jesus said is we go. We say yes to him and we go. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, right? Jesus sent us out. So in Matthew 7 or 10, 7 through 10, he says, as you go, there it is, we're going, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick. There that is again. Guys, when forgiveness and salvation happen, Jesus did both of those things and healing. That's the mission of the kingdom. Healing, forgiveness, salvation, all go hand in hand, okay? So he says, he starts it off, proclaim this message. Heaven has come near. So you're preaching. Then heal the sick. Then raise the dead. Then cleanse the lepers. Drive out the demons. For freely you have received, so freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take it with you in your belts, no bag for the journey, or extra shirt or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. There, that part right there just says that if there's a minister among you and you have it in your power to bless them financially, bless them financially. If you have it in your power to say, hey, man, I got a spare room. You have shelter. You have a bed to sleep in. No. All right. Guess what? God's telling you to bless them with a house and a covering over their head. You have extra food where maybe you're fasting and you could be giving that food to somebody else that doesn't have food. There you go. If someone is worthy of a wage of some sort, whether it be food, shelter, clothing, money, whatever it is, bless them. Honor the Lord in that and bless them, okay? Next up, we're reminded again, I sort of quoted it, but Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Now, FYI, he lives in you, so you also have authority in heaven and earth. We talked about that a minute ago. So therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, is my favorite part about this whole thing. I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. Jesus didn't send us on a mission and just say, see ya, you know, see you later. See you when you get to heaven. See you when it's all done. No, he's here encouraging us and strengthening us and guiding us the entire way. In fact, my next point is, how do we do it all? It's by his strength, right? He's with us. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. This is a very familiar verse. I gave you a few extra. But Isaiah is just asking this question. Have we not known? Where have we been? Have we been under a rock? Have we not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't faint and he doesn't get tired. All right. He doesn't, oh, you know, I'm so tired. I need a sandwich, you know, right? He doesn't do that. He's not like us. His understanding is unsearchable. Good news. Holy Spirit searches all things for us. All right. That's cool. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases in strength. He, not only if you're weak, will he strengthen you, but if you didn't have any strength to begin with, he gives you some strength and then strengthens you. Like, I just love it. And then check this out. Even the youths, even those boys, like my son, Hezekiah and Eli, when they're racing and running around, just bolts of energy, even they will get faint and get weary. And even young men, young guys, you know, 20-somethings, I don't know if I'm still counted in that crew, but young guys shall utterly fall. None of us has an unending amount of strength like Jesus does. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Even though we get tired, he doesn't. And he's going to exchange our strength for his strength when we do what he asked us to do. We'll just have that supernatural ability to just keep going. Amen? Now, this is not, hey, don't rest. Make sure you're resting in the Lord. That's that waiting part. But as you wait and rest in the Lord, he gives you strength for the task. Okay? All right. Next up, I've got Ephesians 4, 14 through 16. Now, if you're on this with me, I hope you're amening, because I was just thinking about some of you that just love the deep dive in scripture. I pray this is a blessing to you. This is how the Lord speaks to me. He gives me all the scriptures proving his point, and it's really hard for me to argue with him. So this is what I like to call at Hope Church our five-course meal. So I pray this is blessing you, but we're about done here. Ephesians 4, 14 through 16 says, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Without Jesus, we're scheming, guys. We only serve ourselves. That's what he's talking about. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, and that's Christ. From him, from Christ, the whole body, that's us, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. I believe there's some of us out there that are joining ligaments, supporting ligaments. I've told my church that some days I feel like the ligament that's just holding everything together. That's okay, right? But we support each other, we grow, and it says, and builds itself, this body builds itself up in love as each part does its work. we build each other up in love as we work. Yes, that's what it says. So this morning, Alan brought some Oreos. And then everybody started talking about the double stuffed. And then everybody started talking about, no, there's another one. There's a quadruple stuffed, right? And we kind of likened it to the Holy Spirit. And I don't think he takes offense to this, but he's a cookie that a lot of people like. And I believe that that is probably a spiritual assessment and a physical assessment. But those that operate with the Holy Spirit without his love is kind of like taking that cookie and scooping out all that nice inside, and you're just left with the two dark pieces, the like chocolate pieces. It's good. Some people like that, but I think just about everybody can say they like it better with the filling inside of it. Some people will even say, man, I really like it when it's got the double stuffed in there, right? So when we're operating and being used by the Holy Spirit, one of the fruit that he gives us is love. I encourage you to apply love. Be that extra stuffed Oreo to them and make sure that everything that you're doing, everything that you're saying, the ways that you're teaching, feeding, guiding, etc., is done with an immense amount of love, okay? Now, you got to take those bites at a time, right? You don't want to just scarf down a ton of Oreo cookies. You're going to be sick. You're going to get real sick. It ain't going to be pretty. But in its given time, with that proper portion and allowing yourself to digest what he gives you, digest it with that love mixed in there. It's like, hey, I'm good. I've had my fill, right? And it's good. It's a good filling, right? So I pray that blesses you. Here's our closing. So as I was telling my church, we were talking about just what God is doing around us and how he revealed this scripture to me. I'm gonna give it to you in a nutshell, but I'll give you the reference. It's found in Matthew 10. 11 through 20. And so I'm summarizing it here, but there were places where Jesus went to and did great miracles and raised the dead and all these healings are going forth. But there were people, I kid you not, there are people that just stood around with a blank look. We see that today. There were even people that did one worse. They took it a step further and they started whining. Man, nothing good ever happens. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Right? Like they're seeing the Son of the Living God, but they're not seeing him. Remember, Jesus said to Peter, God revealed that to you. The Holy Spirit hadn't resided in them and on them yet. So the Holy Spirit revealed that to Peter. So we had people, we still have people, that aren't heeding that call and aren't listening to the wooing of the Holy Spirit to come to them, that, man, nothing good ever happens. If I didn't have bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. You ever hear people say that? That's those people. And I want you to remember that we should be drawn to Jesus, not a man, not a ministry, not good music. I mean, all those things are the extra. They're the icing on the cake. Jesus is the cake, right? Jesus is the cake. Those things are ways that we worship him, ways that we enjoy our time together with him and with the body of Christ. But we want Jesus. We want to draw, have people come in and be drawn to him and him alone. So I had this thought that if we want all this, if we don't want to be like the people were in that day, it starts here. He told me that. And he said, it starts here, all capitals. Jesus, help revival start here. And I had my church. I encourage you to do it now. Hand on your heart. Jesus, help revival start here. He said, you want revival? He asked me three times. So I told him three times, Jesus, help revival start here. Because if it starts here, I'm going to take it somewhere else. And that fire is going to kind of go wild, right? That forest fire. So let your works point to him. Don't run others off because your fruit is rotten. So I was thinking about, the times that, in the past growing up and all that, we'd have this big old bowl of fruit and it went from being the real deal to the fake fruit, right? You know, and you kind of ask yourself why, but this is the picture that God said. And we would have that fruit in that bowl and it started getting nasty because no one ate it. No one did anything with it. So it started to stink. It started to be real squishy and just, it was gross, right? And then, you know, I was telling everybody that we have that spray that you can spray on your fruit to make it smell good again and be crisp or whatever. Like it's crazy, right? Then we did one step further. So we realized that if we're going to put fake fruit in there, it's got to smell like fruit. So we get the fake apples or the fake oranges, plop them in the bowl, and then we dump some potpourri in there. And y'all, listen, I'm not a potpourri fan at all. It does not smell like apples. I don't know what it smells like, but not apples. They need to go back to the drawing board on that one. But that's what it's like. That's what we are like. When we all get into this big old bowl and we don't utilize the gifts that Jesus has given us, we don't exercise the fruit of the Spirit in conjunction with the operation of the gifts, and we start to get stinky. We start to get cranky. We don't look like we should. We don't sound like we should. And then when someone comes in and they want a healing from God, well, I don't know if you're going to get healing there. Nobody gets healed, right? You know, you have these bad attitudes. And I thought about another example. I'll give you this one, but it's a little bit more crude, kid safe, but crude. But man, the world gets this. The world understands. You know, they're always looking for the next fix. The drugs, the food, the TV, relationships, anything that takes first place, our eyes off of Jesus, right? The Lord said it to me this way. Are you smoking what you're selling? You know, that's an incredibly crude example, and I'm not by any means advocating that, but the world gets it. They realize that if I say, hey, buy this, and I don't buy this or utilize this product, or, you know, I'm in sales, if I didn't know anything about it and didn't have any testimonials about the software that I sell, no one's going to buy it, okay? So if you don't believe Jesus with all of your heart, that he's freed you from everything, that he heals, that he saves, that he's still moving in power today, no one else will either. All right? Can you hear that today? You can tell people to get saved or to get healed, but you're so cranky and you hobble around on that one good leg that they're seeing the poor evidence, not the evidence that you want them to see. Like, I don't want whatever he's got, right? So I encourage you to be this way. So check this out. In our Matthew scriptures here, I highlighted this. It says, "For you will be handed over to the courts, and you'll be flogged or beaten with whips in the synagogue." Y'all, that's the church. "You'll stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers." Some of us are too scared to step out because we don't want to do that. But listen to this. This is so powerful. "But this will be your opportunity to tell the rulers and other unbelievers about me." Count the cost. Yes, Lord. I want to pay it. I want to go forth. I want to tell them about you because this is my opportunity that you'll save somebody. And I get to be the voice. I get to be the messenger. Sometimes the messenger gets shot. That's why they have that phrase, "I'm positive, don't shoot the messenger." Oftentimes that's what happens to the messenger. But guys, there's no greater message than this. There's no better cost. There's nothing that even compares. Do this. Be like Stephen the martyr, where he's praying for them the entire time. Lord, bless them because they don't know what they're doing. But he did it anyway. He wasn't scared. He didn't count his life more valuable than Christ's. If Christ laid down his life, we can lay down ours with his help, with his strength, okay? And then last thing I share with my church that I want to share with you or anybody from Hope that's watching this now, Acts 2. They preached this message. They fellowshiped together. They ate together. They worshiped together. They learned together. And it said God added to his church daily. Didn't say Peter added to his church daily. Didn't say Paul or any of the other apostles added to his church daily. It said God did. I need you to hear that the increase is up to him. We don't get to determine the increase. We don't get to say, oh, look at all this work. We got to do all this work to get to the end goal, the final point, right? I want you to, instead of saying, look at all this work, here's where we're going. I want you to say, look at the way. Look at the way. It's Jesus. If you said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. You're not saving them. I'm not saving them. We're messengers. He's the way. He gets them saved. He gets them transformed and set free. So I want to pray for you. If you're hearing this for the first time, wherever you're at, God's power, God's love, His goodness is still going forth. He still wants to do a new thing in you and in me. He wants to transform you. And then as you go and tell of His goodness to your friends and loved ones and people that you meet, you're imparting His truth into them. You're imparting the Holy Spirit into them so they can be saved and transformed just like you were. So don't hold it in. Sometimes the gifts that you carry around are not for you. It's for somebody else. So, Lord Jesus, would you be with us today? Would you continue moving? Would you continue building these temples of our lives? We're your body. And help us to build each other up in love and in good works. And let us strengthen each other. Let us be those supporting ligaments. Let us be those members of the body that are doing the work that you've called us to, that you've equipped us for. Show us your will. Show us your way. Let us not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Let us not be ashamed of this good news that we've found, this best friend that we've found, this King, this Master, this Savior, this Father. Thank you. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for your shed blood. Thank you for the stripes that you took on your back so that we might have healing. Oh, Jesus, we praise you. If you're here today and you're watching online and you don't know Jesus, I invite you to say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe that I'm a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior. You are that Savior. And I ask you to come into my heart. Would you be the Lord and Master of my life? I yield all control to you. I want to be made new. I want to taste and see that you are good. And then teach me to tell somebody about you. Give me the boldness. Give me the opportunity to share your good news, your word with them. If I really love somebody, I'm going to tell them the best news ever, right? All right. If you prayed that prayer, I welcome you. Brother or sister in Christ, send me an email, chris@okchope.church. Visit our website. We've got a bunch of materials on there for you. We want to hear from you. We want to hear if you accepted Jesus, tell us so that we can celebrate and worship the Lord with you. And then we want to get resources into your hands. We would like to get a Bible into your hands if you don't have one, so that you could read the word and study it and ask questions. And as He teaches you, you're able to share that with others. So with that said, guys, this is our evening service. I don't know that I'll always do this, but you know, when the Lord allows it, I like getting a little bit more up close and personal with you. And you can watch this anytime and share it out. So I bless you in the name of the Lord. I pray strength and wholeness and just the Lord's hand of favor to fall on you right now in Jesus' name. So whether you're having those dreams or the visions, whatever it is, He said He'd pour out His Spirit on us. So Lord, pour out more of your Spirit on us as we go forth this week and we tell somebody about you. Once again, hope this blesses you. And if you're able to visit us in person, we are found in Oklahoma City, 3100 North Meridian Avenue. And we look forward to seeing you soon. And if you can't, we'll see you online. God bless.